I'm the next presenter. My name is Colin Cruttrell. I work with wine grapes in the San Joaquin Valley of California. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Yi Zhang, Michael Cook, and Dr. Jim Kennedy. So we worked on a different project. We looked at accumulation of anthocyanins and flavonols in the berry skin. We looked at it with early season light exposure, and then this was a split over some irrigation stresses. So, if you guys enjoy wine, more than likely it came from the San Joaquin Valley of California, which accounts for about 80% of the crush, which is just around Fresno, 100-mile radius of Fresno. It might not sound that appealing, but that's where majority of the grapes will come from. So this region is essentially a desert. It's a warm climate with a very large acreage. We're looking at vineyard sizes of roughly 256 acres in average. So at this level, yield is paramount, but we're exposed to a high day and a high night temperatures, which might hinder phenolic biosynthesis pathways. Since yield is paramount, very little attention is paid to managing the vines on a vine by vine basis. So people can just afford to prune them and let them be. This ends up in large and very dense canopies, and the end result is a mutual shading. So this hinders anthocyanin biosynthesis even further. So when we were looking at this, a lot of people are applying various cultural practices, but we've seen that there's no published work on early season light exposure to grapes. This is mostly pre-bloom or pre-anthesis levels, but there's quite a bit of information on deficit irrigation methods. So we decided to cross these or split these in our design. So leaf removal is a way to increase light infiltration through the canopy. This is used as a yield control method. We do not want to control our yield. We want as much yield or volume as we can get. But what people have seen is reduced set, which was a way of controlling our yield in our cooler climates. What they have seen, however, is increased skin mass tissue. Therefore, they were seeing improved phenolic composition of the berry skin. Of course, there's a post-set leaf removal when the berries are about 3 to 5 millimeter in size. You can remove leaves to increase light infiltration into the canopy. At this time, people have seen no reduction in fruit set. Again, a little bit of improved phenolic composition. However, in warm climates like in California, overexposure to sunlight would reduce phenolic composition of the berry. And they have also seen a reduction of green flavors, where the methoxypyrazines are the main culprit. And of course, they have seen an increase in total soluble solids accumulation. Irrigation restriction, two methods, sustained deficit, where a known amount of stress is placed on the plant throughout the season. This reduces berry size and reduces vegetative growth, which is a rate of shoot growth per week. Regulated deficit irrigation, where certain stresses are applied at specific times in the season. This reduced berry size, reduced vegetative growth, and an increase in anthocyanin concentration was through UFGT upregulation in the cool climate and the biosynthetic pathway. And this also has accelerated ripening in the berries. So looking at the flavonoid pathway, mainly what people have looked at is upregulation of UFGT, which codes for O-methyl transferase, and then you have your anthocyanin components, cyanidin, pionidin, delphinidin, malvidin. And most of the time, if you read viticulture papers, people will focus on the malvidin 3-O-glucoside and its degradation compounds, but I know this is mostly a post-veraison thing, accumulation in the berry. So looking at the generalized responses to elevated light and temperature, so we have no lack of either of these. in California, of course. So we have high berry growth with increased light, and as soon as our temperature exceeds a certain amount, a lot of these compounds will degrade and catabolized by the berry at night. So this was a 32-hectare research site in Denair. It's not a very romantic area. It's off of the 99 freeway. Typical California vineyard, 2.1 by 3.4 meter spacing running north-south. This was drip irrigated, and this is a head-trained vineyard. It came pruned to six canes. So leaf removal treatments were applied with this implement. Since vineyards are so large, we cannot afford to do these things by hand. So this was a Clemens EL50 adapted for California conditions. We ended up putting a cutter on the front of the machine to get rid of the sprawl. So we just removed the leaves on the east side of the canopy in the the side of the canopy that receives the light in early morning. So we had three treatments: control, a pre-bloom application. This was applied 1 week prior to anthesis, and then a post-fruit set. It was applied 20 days after anthesis and 90 days after anthesis, with the goal of intercepting at least 20% of PAR in the fruiting zone. And the machine does a very good job. It opens up the canopy very well. This is a post-set application. You can see all the berries exposed in this jungle of a canopy. So this is the times when the berries were exposed to at least 20% of sunlight. The first one was applied 1st of May, and the other ones were applied 5th of June, and then again at the onset of veraison. Irrigation treatments, we had a sustained deficit. This was maintained at negative 1.2 megapascals midday leaf water potential throughout the season. This is between fruit set and harvest. We had the regulated deficit irrigation. At this time, we switched the stress levels. We applied a negative 1.2 megapascal stress anthesis to fruit set. At our fruit set, we changed it to a negative 1.2, negative 1.4 megapascals till our veraison, and then after our veraison, we ramped up the irrigation. And these are the formulas that we use to calculate our amount of ET fraction replacement during these times. Graphically, sustained deficit would be the green one. We maintain at a constant deficit. Regulated deficit, it can change during different times, and then usually we will ramp it up right around veraison. So this is how it looked at this site. But the top portion of the graph is a ET crop in millimeters. The bottom portion is irrigation applied in megaliters, so it's a million liters. So you can convert it to acre feet if you feel like it. The green line is the SDI. It was maintained at negative 1.2 megapascals. The red line is negative 1.4 between fruit set to veraison. Then it was ramped up to SDI as well. So let's take a look at the results. This is canopy architecture and microclimate. We had no response to irrigation, even in a very arid zone. Most of the stuff I'm going to show you is due to light exposure. So this is the amount of number of exterior leaf contacts. So you have control, pre-bloom, and post-set. So at 3rd of May, when we came back and measured it, we only had less than one exterior leaf contact with a pre-bloom treatment. The other ones were around 3.5 to 4. When we came back to measure it on 7th of July after the application of post-set treatments, you see that post-set treatments have the least amount of exterior leaves. By the 9th of August, post-set treatments are, catching up, but again, still they have the least amount of exterior leaves. When we look at the total number of leaf layers from side to side, you'll see that control always has the highest amount of leaf contacts. And then at 3rd of May, early season, pre-bloom has the least. The numbers decline with the post-bloom treatment as we move on throughout the season. So looking at the amount of PAR, percent PAR intercepted by these canopies, early in the season we're intercepting or exposing them to at least 50% of PAR with the pre-bloom treatment. 10th of June we had no difference, but amount of light interceptions are highest with the pre-bloom treatment throughout the rest of the season. By 9th of August when canopies are closed, you lose that relationship. I'll show you some of the yield components at a commercial harvest. I'm showing you a freeze-dried skin mass and a seed weight, where most of the phenolic compounds are accumulated. Pre-bloom leaf removal treatment had the highest amount of skin tissue, similar to a control. Post-fruit set did not have enough skin tissue because it was probably exposed to too much sunlight and heat later on in the season. Seed weight we were not able to influence by leaf removal or irrigation. As reported in literature, berry weight is reduced by leaf removal treatments, both with early and late season treatments. However, our berries per cluster did not change. So we had the same number of berries per cluster in the warm climate. So it was not a method of controlling our yield. So we end up with the same yield. Cluster weight was a little bit less. Cluster numbers, however, were a little bit better with the post-set leaf removal treatments. Yield per vine did not change. So you end up with smaller berries, smaller clusters, but you have a little bit more of these clusters. So berries are clusters are compensating for the total yield. Pruning weight per vine was reduced to about half a kilo with the leaf removal treatments. It changed the Ravaz index, which is a yield efficiency parameter that we use. It's quite high, about 28. However, our leaf area to fruit ratio numbers are within range for what we want to see in the warm climate. So we looked at the berry composition of the commercial harvest. We have no problem attaining bricks in California, although our pre-bloom treatments came in a little bit early. Our target harvest parameter was about 24 bricks in this case. Juice pH was not influenced by leaf removal, and titratable acidity was not. RDI treatment accelerated the harvest a little bit, but that's a statistical difference. It's not necessarily a horticultural difference that we would change our harvest logistics for. So we looked at the phenolics in the berry skin and seed with exhaustive extraction. Looked at it at four wavelengths with a reverse phased HPLC. So I'm just going to show you the phenolic composition of the berries at commercial harvest, but we have the temporal development of these as well. So due to lack of time, I'll just show you this. So skin and seed composition. So catechins were improved with a pre-bloom leaf removal by about 30%. Epicatechin, again the same way compared to control and post-bloom treatments. Your flavan thriola monomers, quercetin and myricetin, again they were improved in the skin by pre-bloom leaf removal. So this is applied even before berries are formed, but that early season light exposure gives you R square of close to 0.89 in the end. The early season light exposure gives you an R square of 0.89 with the flavan thriol monomers. When I look at the total tannins, unit is different, milligrams per gram of dry weight. Leaf removal treatments improve these in the skin. We were not able to influence them in the seed. When I look at my irrigation treatments, none of the phenolics were influenced by any of our irrigation stress treatments. So here's the color figure. So I have delphinidin 3 glucoside, cyanidin, pitunidin, peonidin, malvidin 3O glucoside. It's acetylated and coumarin forms. If you look at it, the pre-bloom treatment is influencing the anthocyanin concentration at harvest. So this is a clear winner. This was such a big improvement for the San Joaquin Valley. It was this method is already adopted by large-scale growers. So I'll show you a different chart. This is a labor operation cost and an impact of leaf removal timing on irrigation. So this is all the treatment breakdown, controlled with SDI, controlled with RDI, pre-bloom, and post-set. All the vines were pruned the same, so it's costing me about $750 to prune them. Leaf removal costs are going to change, but the irrigation cost is going to change as you stress the vines. So our total cost is roughly around $1,600 to about $1,700. However, the total amount of anthocyanin we're able to generate changes very drastically. So if you look at it, we're generating about 11.5 to 11.7 kilos of total anthocyanins per hectare from these yields. So the anthocyanin production cost goes from roughly about 30 cents a gram per hectare to about 15 cents to 14 cents with the recommended treatments. So pre-bloom, you're able to keep the canopy open all throughout the season. Post-set, it performs similarly, but not the same results. Irrigation did not have an effect in this case, so we recommended a pre-bloom leaf removal and a SDI with this study. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge these people, of course, the lab members who had a big part in this trial. That I can take questions, maybe one, or introduce the next guy.